Y'all, 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock here on this Monday night. Welcome back from the weekend. I hope you all had a very nice one. The weather was great, cooperated. A little warm, right? Certain days, but good to be able to be out there and enjoy some weather if you were able to get out and do just that. Go for a walk. A lot of people on the beach running your errands and getting things done, whatever it was that you set out to do. Hopefully you all had a great weekend as you start your Monday. And it's good to be back in here with you as we get ready to, you know, discuss quite a few things, of course, in sports. With Matt Klentak speaking today, the Philadelphia 76ers and their schedule released on Friday evening. And we had a chance to bring that to you live as it happened and discuss that with you all. Some news in the NFL with an MVP quarterback, former MVP quarterback, finding a home late in the offseason, and just so many other things that we can discuss here tonight. And just like we heard Anthony and Mike and the morning show as well discussing the Philadelphia 76ers and talking about what their schedule looks like, and even just pointing out overall what they should do, what the game plan should be as they gear up for Orlando. They'll get back on the floor this week together as a team starting July 1st, where they're able to get out there and do some work collectively, still have to space out and do the social distancing and all of that at the training complex in Camden. And they depart, I believe, July 9th to head to Orlando. What we'll also bring you is my conversation with Brett Brown from the Sixers Podcast Network, which is also going to be featured on Sixers.com starting right around Wednesday. I said Tuesday or Wednesday, so it looks like it's going to be Wednesday, but we have a few snippets, a couple of things that we can share with you this evening for what Brett Brown had to say, as he is part of the NBA's coaches committee, where they are definitely doing some big things to help with everything that's going on in our country with social injustice and social reform overall. So we'll bring you some of those, some of that audio throughout the show this evening. So I hope hopefully you guys can stay tuned for that as well and get your thoughts on some of the things that we share with you tonight. And of course, it will be out on Wednesday on the Sixers Podcast Network. So with the schedule, and I heard Mike talking about this, and Ty and those guys going back and forth on what they need to do, what's the better path for them to win. And they are right. The easier path, I'm not going to say easy, because these are some good teams in the East from 1 through 6, including the Philadelphia 76ers. Yes, they have been down in terms of what we thought they would be at 39-26, when we certainly thought they would be much better than that in the Eastern Conference. But with that being said, they are still a very good team that could make some noise once things get underway in the NBA. And with that, you look at the 1 through 6, the teams that are very good. I still have my questions about Indiana. I hear Mike and I hear Ty and what they feel about the Indiana Pacers, only because of the unknown right now of Victor Oladipo. I don't know where Victor Oladipo is. 1 minute, it seems like he's in. Another minute, it seems like he's out. So with that, that leaves something hanging in the air. With it's just like everyone deciding if they want to get into the bubble at all, if they want to decide to join a team. But in this case, it's an up and down thing with him as to whether he's going to play. The Indiana Pacers, I think, when it's all said and done, the Sixers are a better basketball team than the Indiana Pacers. They match up very well with the Sixers. They give the Sixers problems, and we've seen that from them this year as well. They've played well against the 76ers without Victor Oladipo when you've had Malcolm Brogdon, Domantas Sabonis, TJ Warren, and Miles Turner flat out going off on the 76ers. They are also without Jeremy Lamb due to injury. He won't be available, if I'm correct. I think he has a long-term injury that he sustained right before the hiatus in the NBA. So he's going to be down. So they are going to be down a key player. Now, as Mike points out, that they go 5-3 And that's where you want to keep them in that sixth seed to take on the Boston Celtics in the first round. And I've said it before, I'm backing Mike and Ty in this one where they talk about the chances against the Boston Celtics. I totally agree. I've said it. I think the 76ers can beat the Boston Celtics. They are 3-1 against them in the regular season. They are. The 76ers had defended them well, and they give you problems, especially when you gear the offense like you should anyway, running things through your big man, Joel Embiid, on the low block, because Daniel Tice, albeit a nice center defensively, Enes Kanter, a decent offensive scorer at the center position, and a solid rebounder in the NBA, defensively, they cannot stop Joel Embiid. If he is locked in a first-round matchup with the Boston Celtics, that will cause problems for the Boston Celtics. That would be a bonus, a plus for the Philadelphia 76ers. And then thereafter, things can happen the way they happen with the trickle-down effect of how they will run their offense, who will be the next the feature of the offense, whether it be Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Josh Richardson, Al Horford, on and on and on. You figure things out from there. But the bread and butter, of course, will be Joel Embiid just feasting on those two bigs for the Boston Celtics. And I agree with that. I really do. It's something that I've stood on, and I think it will be a very good series. I think it will be a 6 or even 7-game series because of the Atlantic Division rivalry that they have, how well they play against one another. The Sixers didn't just flat out rout the Celtics during the season. They played them very well, and they beat them head up every time except for the last meeting. And at that time, we thought it was imperative that they sweep them, let them know this is what it's going to be like. If we match up in the postseason, we're going to put our foot, right, on your foot, and you cannot run, okay? You cannot move. We're going to keep you in this quicksand, in this mud, and you can't do anything. Then you have the Spurs at game two after the Pacers. All of these are a day in between, right? You have a day off. The Washington Wizards, the Orlando Magic, Portland Trailblazers, Phoenix Suns, Toronto Raptors, Houston Rockets. I said on Friday night when the schedule was released, 5-3 or 6-2 at best for this basketball team, because they can slip up against the Indiana Pacers, the San Antonio Spurs, the Blazers, the Rockets, or the Raptors. They can slip up against all of those teams, but just as the 76ers are good, so are these other squads. I still think they have a decent chance of advancing past the first round. It's going to be tough against Boston, but the goal is, of course, to get past the second round, as they were talking about during the midday, during the afternoon show, because no longer can we see them exit in the second round. It's just not it. Now, there are some circumstances here with the nature of the coronavirus, the hiatus, the shortened offseason, that it might be difficult in order to make a lot of changes because of the fact that you are going to have, even if you are eliminated in the second round, you're talking about possibly what, late August, early September, you are out. Now you have these few months to get things going. This is not a typical offseason in the NBA. Bringing in someone new is going to be a challenge. And I'm not talking about the New York Knicks and their problems, or some of these other teams that have already had vacancies with their, let's say, the coaching staff, or even some moves that they have to make with some players. This will be challenging overall for the 76ers to go out there and make a big move in the offseason. And I've come around to what Joe Torti and Ty Lazuli have said about the head coach being here if things fell short for them in a typical offseason where maybe that move would be made. If they fell short, you are going to be looking at a situation where they have to make a decision, because this is not a normal thing. Now, I do see the path to the Eastern Conference Finals best going through Boston and Toronto. I agree with that. But just as much as I have my doubts about their chances against the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Toronto Raptors scare the mess out of the Philadelphia 76ers. For whatever reason, I think that Nick Nurse is probably the NBA coach of the year for what he has done, having this team prepared in that second spot in the Eastern Conference, losing Kawhi Leonard, bringing everyone else back, incorporating other players like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Terrence Davis into their lineup, where you did not have them a year ago. Somehow, some way, they have managed to still be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, and that losing, after losing the finals MVP, losing the production that he gives you out there on the floor and making them the team that they were. Yes, Kyle Lowry returns. He's still an all-star level player, essentially the franchise player. Pascal Siakam takes the next step. He is an all-NBA player before his play started to dip towards the end of the season and injuries got him. Marc Gasol, just a steady anchor of their defense and even their offense with his passing ability. Fred VanVleet taking that next step as well with his offensive production being very solid, trusted point guard out there that you can count on when you have a small backcourt of Lowry and VanVleet. And we'll get to some of the comments that he made later on about the bubble, because Toronto was already in Orlando and getting their practice in before everyone else joins them for the training camp that they're going to have inside the bubble. They are not yet in the bubble. They are just in Florida getting their work in right now. So that team has done a very, very nice job of sustaining the success that they have established from their championship run, who they are, the championship DNA, the way they carry themselves, and the confidence that they have every time they march onto that floor and get ready to tip off and play that 48 minutes. They scare me, okay? The Toronto Raptors do, in fact, scare me when it comes to the head-on matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers. So what do we wanted to ask you about, you know, tonight to start things off? We know Milwaukee is the end game. You get them in the Eastern Conference Final. Let's assume that they do. The Sixers stay in the sixth spot and they face the Boston Celtics in round number one. And they move on and they get to the Toronto Raptors. That is the number one team outside of the Milwaukee Bucks that I am afraid of. I'll be honest with you, because how they're coached, how they're well coached, how they are, they have the leaders to go out there. Again, the championship pedigree that they have after doing what they did a year ago, knowing that people counted them out after losing Kawhi Leonard due to free agency. Well, Toronto Raptors, they're just going to fall down to that 4 or 5, maybe even 6 seed, because they lost the heart and soul, the best player of the Toronto Raptors. And now it's just an older Kyle Lowry, an older Marc Gasol, and Pascal Siakam just simply does not have enough in him to take that next step. Well, all of that is no longer true, because these guys are right behind the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference, and they are problematic for me when it comes to what the Philadelphia 76ers could get themselves into. Is it the ideal thing where you face the Raptors versus the Milwaukee Bucks? Based on wanting to avoid the Bucks until you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. But man, that Raptors team is good. So what we wanted to ask you guys to start things off here this evening on the Fanatic, 610-632-0975. As we look at things, and let's just assume that things go as they are right now. Everyone stays 1 through 8 in the Eastern Conference. Sixers are the 6th seed. They take on the Boston Celtics. Neutral site. Have a chance to beat them. Raptors 2nd round. Bucks 3rd round if they are good enough to get past the Raptors. What team are you most concerned about in the Eastern Conference? Again, things have changed since October when we started to forecast this team's season, what we thought they would be, okay? What we thought they would be. Now, again, we've had a chance to see them for 65 games. We've had a chance to see all of these other squads as well. We may have feared the Bucks early on. You may have feared the Celtics, but not the Raptors, the Pacers, the Heat for sure. No one gave them an opportunity. Thought Jimmy Butler was out of his mind for joining that team. How is he going to lead them if he wants to win? That's not going to happen. Well, they're just sitting in the 4th seed in front of the 76ers. But that being said, the things that we thought were going to happen early on. They have not. It is different. And we have to look at this team and have that outlook. If they're going to advance deep into the Eastern Conference playoffs and hopefully get past that second round, a berth in the Eastern Conference Finals, and battle that Bucks team to the end. Which team do you have most concerns about for the 76ers in the Eastern Conference bracket of the playoffs? 610-632-0975. And why? I've explained mine. I think the Toronto Raptors, with their defense overall, tremendous. Head coaching, phenomenal. Leadership, off the charts. And again, just simply pointing out the fact that they did what they did last season, winning the title, losing Kawhi Leonard, still returning this year, where it appears that they were counted out, and them being counted out, just simply coming back and posting a 46-18 record in the Eastern Conference, 6.5 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks, and a trouble spot for your Philadelphia 76ers when they face the Toronto Raptors. They are a tough, tough team to play against. They are a tough, tough team to coach against. The one thing that they do have going in their favor is this. As we talk about the Sixers having their home court advantage, 29-2, people coming to Philadelphia, getting into the center, and it's a trouble spot for all of these teams coming in through the 31, 29 teams have walked away with an L. The one thing the Sixers do have going for them, even though it is on the road and it is a neutral spot, they don't have to go to Scotiabank Arena and play in what I believe is a kryptonite for Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Period. So they do have that going for them. With that, a healthy Embiid, someone who looks at Marc Gasol across from him and for whatever reason decides to post 0 points against him in a regular season game, I hope he has that self-motivation, that inner fire to decide that this is the man that I have to get over the hump with. This is the man that causes me so much trouble, Marc Gasol, that he defends me so well that I have to find a way to use that as my springboard to be my dominant self in the postseason and get my team to the next round. And once I get to that next round, to not be satisfied with my performance there just because I got past that round, where now we have to get ready for the Milwaukee Bucks and know that it's going to be a challenge against them and the length that they have, the MVP, the shooting, the defense, the versatility, and again, the very good coaching led by Mike Budenholzer of the Milwaukee Bucks. So they have a lot going for them. They have certainly already clinched a playoff spot, the Philadelphia 76ers, with this new format. 39-26, tied with the Indiana Pacers in the fifth spot. Sixers hold down six. Who in the Eastern Conference do you fear most of the top teams that you could potentially face in the playoffs? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is producing the show with us until 10 o'clock. I'm Devon Givens. Once again, talking about the latest with the Philadelphia 76ers and their schedule. 5-3, 6-2 is where I have them. I can't lock down on either one, but that is my range, 5-3, 6-2, in the eight games, seeding games that they're going to have in Orlando to position themselves in the playoffs and find a way to advance past the second round for the first time in the last three playoff appearances that they have now. Are going to have once things kick off in Orlando. I think they can certainly make noise. I am not afraid of moving up and having to face the Milwaukee Bucks, but everyone who has talked about staying in the sixth spot and the path being greater against Boston and then Toronto, they are right. However, listen, you cannot be scared of anyone. The playoffs are the playoffs. Tough matchups are going to be there. If you are able to get past Boston and Toronto in that first and second round, man, you have to have that confidence going into Milwaukee simply because you beat two good basketball teams in a tough environment because it's not yours, it's not theirs, it's an adjustment overall. Yes, the eight games are going to help. We know it, all of that. I get it, but it's just going to be tough all around. But if you do that, it is a tip of the cap to the team, to the coaching staff, and advancing. There's a lot riding on this for a lot of people with the fact that we will critique them very harshly if they don't get past the second round. A lot will critique them very harshly if they don't get past the first round, thinking they are better than the Boston Celtics, and you should beat them because of the regular season record. Kemba Walker has had an opportunity to rest his injuries, the same as Ben Simmons. So no one is going to have a big, distinct advantage based on the rest. They're all going to have the same opportunity to come out and prove themselves in this new environment in Orlando, inside the bubble. They are all going to have the same opportunity, the same rest that they've had for their key players to now come back. So anything with this whole, well, the Sixers are going to be better because they have, well, look, if they have the best players in any matchup, you might be right. And we'll go over that, right? We'll go over every time they are on the floor. If you look at them, do they have the best pairing between the duo of Simmons and Embiid to anyone else? Whether it's Walker and Tatum, Tatum and Brown, Brown and Walker, are the Sixers guys better than any duo that the other teams are going to pose opposite them every time they step on the floor? So 610-632-0975, Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens. Sixers, of course, we now know what the schedule is through the eight games. Who do you fear most in the Eastern Conference bracket of the playoffs? Or do you not fear anybody as much as I do the Toronto Raptors because you are very confident in your basketball team advancing past Toronto, past Boston in the first round, getting to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals? 610-632-0975. Tyler and I are with you until 10 o'clock. A lot to get into, starting with the Sixers and their chances in Orlando. The numbers again, 610-632-0975. We were with you until 10, talking some hoops to start things off on this Monday night. Welcome back from the weekend right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. A little later in the program, we will let you hear some of my conversation with Brett Brown, courtesy of Sixers Podcast Network and Sixers.com. That will be released, I believe, on Wednesday on their site and on the podcast network. So look out for that, and we'll give you a couple of excerpts from my conversation with Brett Brown. Went about an hour, I think. And it wasn't really about basketball. It was more about social justice that's going on in the country right now, all the racial issues that are happening with police brutality and such. And Brett and the coaching staff, the coaches around the NBA have gotten together to form a committee to help out and not just sit there. They want to do something about it, certainly led by, a lot of people remember Lloyd Pierce just being the defensive coach for Brett Brown on his bench for so many years. Lloyd Pierce is one of the quietest guys, very, very reserved, but he has been at the forefront of this. You often hear from Popovich, Kerr, when issues happen within the country with things that, and now people who saw The Last Dance, they understand Steve Kerr's backstory, and they understand why he's so deeply into everything that's going on with the country and the government and all of these things, if you know what happened to his father. And Lloyd Pierce has been at the very top. Lloyd Pierce has been at the very, very top, especially with him being in Atlanta. You know how things are. Very, very heavy, of course, with African-American people in Atlanta. And he has been strong out there. He has been strong in leading this committee. Doc Rivers, Nate McMillan, Stan Van Gundy is also a part of it. I believe that David Fizdale, even though he's not a head coach right now, still a part of it, and so many more. So listen out again for a few excerpts that we're going to play for you tonight. Tyler has that stuff for you, and we'll play that throughout the show. About three of them we have, and he does talk about basketball. We talk about basketball at the end of the conversation on the Sixers Podcast Network. So, you know, it's a good conversation overall. I think you guys will enjoy it. And many people know how hard I am on Brett Brown from time to time. He knows how I feel also from time to time. We've had our conversations. And this time we put all of that stuff aside to talk about what's really important in this country right now. And that is all the social issues that are going on right now. So we'll play that for you as we go along. But our conversation tonight, 610-632-0975. Who do you fear most in the Eastern Conference with the Philadelphia 76ers possibly staying right with? If it goes chalk and the Sixers stay in the sixth spot, who do you fear most in the Eastern Conference bracket of the playoffs? Boston is going to be your first round matchup. If you move past them, Toronto is it there waiting for you. And then the Milwaukee Bucks. Who do you fear most? Maybe it's Miami, possibly Indiana. Who do you fear most? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli has also put up a Twitter poll on @975TheFanatic. So Tyler, let's give that to the people so they have an opportunity to also go to 975TheFanatic on Twitter, cast their votes, and we'll give you the final results of the poll towards the end of the show. Ty, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Devon? Yeah, simple question tonight. Nothing too crazy, just off what you talked about in the opening segment here. What team worries you the most in the NBA playoffs? The Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics. And then the final option is the Heat / Pacers / other. You know, if there's any of the other Eastern Conference teams that give you a worry. We have just under 200 votes so far. Bucks leading the way at 56%, followed by the Toronto Raptors at 21%, 11, almost 12% for the Celtics, and then just about 11% for the other options.
Okay, and again, this could go a lot of different ways, but we're going chalk right now. Who do you fear most? Ty, before we get to Rob to start things off and everybody else, 610-632-0975, who do you fear most?
Yeah, I think that I've been really back and forth on this one for a while now, but I think I've come to settle on the Boston Celtics. And the reason being is the fact that I think that the Celtics have something that these other teams have, but not in the amount that the Celtics have. And that is outside shot creators. And that is shot creators in general. And I believe that when you look at the matchup for the Celtics versus the Sixers versus the other ones, the Raptors versus the Sixers or the Bucks versus the Sixers, even the Heat versus the Sixers, offensively, not another team worries me the way that the Celtics do, because I look at that team and I think that they have the opportunity to find a way to be the hottest all of a sudden, and then there's no stopping them if you can't defend them, because of the fact that, you know, Kemba can create his own shot, Tatum can take you off the dribble and create his own shot, Jaylen Brown can do the same. Mm-hmm. There's just a ton of options for the Celtics there. It worries me that they may not get out of the first round, despite the fact that they beat the Celtics 3 out of 4 games.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 3-1 regular season. That was the final for the Sixers over the Celtics, 3-1 in their 4 matchups. They did it a lot of different ways. They hounded Jason Tatum. He struggled. The same for Jaylen Brown. Could not find his way. While Kemba Walker had his moments, the Sixers really did a nice job on him outside of their first matchup where they started things off in early October. They Matisse Thybulle defended him decently. Then he had his troubles. Kemba Walker would do that too. He's an all-star level player, has one of the better handles, and he can stop on a dime, step back jumper, pull up. We know the history of what he does with the ball in his hands on a string. Arguably one of the best handles outside of Kyrie Irving in the NBA. But the Sixers did have a 3-1 record against them. They defended them very well, and Simmons would be on either Tatum or Brown, probably Tatum, and Josh Richardson would defend Kemba Walker, and they'll go from there. Tobias Harris and his ability to play better defensively this season probably had the assignment of Jaylen Brown. But they also had some things where they would maybe put Tobias Harris on Gordon Hayward and have Al Horford on Jaylen Brown. Whatever they did defensively, it caused problems for the 76ers. The length possibly caused problems for the Boston Celtics, and they did a very nice job. Over the past three seasons, this is the first time that we can say that about them against Boston. They did a fantastic job against them. Can that carry over to the postseason? Brett Brown did speak about how during this hiatus, he and the staff and the players all looking at film, they feel like they found something. We won't know until we see it. And of course, he can say that. He can say that. It has to boil over now to the floor where that actually happens. Can that actually come to fruition when they are in Orlando? So I like Tyler's thoughts. I'm going to Toronto Raptors. Who do you fear most in the Eastern Conference bracket of the playoffs for the Philadelphia 76ers? Only 610-632-0975. And you can vote at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter. Let's start things off in Overbrook as promised, where Rob tips us off on this Monday night. Robbie, what's happening, man?
What's up, D?
What's going on?
What's going on? Nothing much, man. You know who I fear the most?
Let's go.
I fear the Sixers the most.
That's
man.
Fair. That's fair. That is also an option. If you want to throw it out there, you fear the Sixers the most.
Dude, they have the best talent in the East, arguably the best talent in the league. They get in their own way. If they don't get in their own way, they'll be fine. But they get in their own way all the time. And it starts at the top. You know where I'm going. It starts
yes.
at the top.
Yes.
And it trickles its way down to the point guard and to the big man. They still haven't found an answer on how to use Tobias Harris. And as fans, everybody in the city is on Tobias Harris, but I don't think it's solely his fault. I think it's coaching, man. Like, they haven't figured a way to get him the ball in the right spots.
At what point, Rob, for Tobias Harris, let's jump to him real quick. At what point do you look at somebody like Tobias Harris, similar to what Jimmy Butler did, and just take the reins when the ball came his way and be selfish and just get his? Now, you better make it. If you're going to break off the offense the way the things are going, you better make it. But being that guy that's just simply saying, give me the rock, get out of my way, I'm getting us a bucket.
I think if you pay attention, he has done that at certain times in certain games, in certain stretches. He has done that. I mean, I can remember him being at the top of the key in one game, and Ben Simmons was standing next to him. He said, "No, you got this 6 foot dude on you. You go in the post.
Absolutely. I remember that vividly. Yes,
he has asserted himself at times, and I just think he works too hard. To score, and he's still efficient, but he's working too hard to be to score those points. And if they ran some more action, the same action we talk about this all the time, the same action they run for JJ Redick, he should get those same plays because he has more options because he's more skillful on the offensive end.
So if he's coming around those pin downs from Embiid, dribble handoff, catch it, take a dribble, pull up, or if he makes a couple of those mid-range jumpers, now explode to the basket for a layup or a dunk.
There you go.
Okay.
It's that simple. Basketball's not a hard game. You know this, Dave.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
And I'll be perfectly honest with you, Rob. I like that role right there that you're talking about also for Josh Richardson because his explosion I think is more with his athleticism could be more of a benefit and a bonus for them to pull as they talked about pulling that out from Furkan Korkmaz when he went off for his 30 plus twice back to back. I want to see that for Josh Richardson again, because during the offseason and during the preseason training camp leading up to the start of the season, I thought that his explosiveness off of the J.J. Redick action could be beneficial for the 76ers and a half court set.
Stop playing like everybody else and play the strengths of your players.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, that's man, it. Sixers, that's a fair one. Rob, have a good one, man. Thanks for always checking
right.
in. Thanks for starting us off tonight. 610-632-0975. We can have that wrinkle in there as well if you feel like the 76ers are their own worst enemy because they get in their own way. Who do you fear most in the Eastern Conference bracket of the NBA playoffs? 610-632-0975. 5 minutes ago, before Rob came on, Joel Seltzer says on Twitter, Sixers. Sixers. All right, I'll give you another one. John R. DeRozier, the Sixers. Lest we forget, they were pretty mediocre before the season was suspended. They were 39-26. They have not lived up to the billing of a top Eastern Conference team. Are they a championship contender or not? Or not? Are they just an Eastern Conference finals contender versus a NBA Finals contender? Now, Rob mentioned Tobias Harris, and Justin, Jay, and everybody else that's on hold, hang on, we want you to hear this. Tobias Harris was on First Take on Friday with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. He spoke about the 76ers and their, I guess, disappointment through 65 games at 39-26.
I just say, you know, and I keep it real, we haven't had the best chemistry throughout the whole year. It took us a while to kind of get everyone together. We battled injuries from the start to the end. And right now, if we're the sleeper, then we're the sleeper. Like, truth be told, how we're viewed, that's someone else's opinion. But I know when I look my guys in the eye and we have conversations, we got one goal in mind. That's to go out there and play and win a championship. So that's the only view that matters to me. So I'm with what people say, what people got to say about our team. I get it, because we haven't met our expectations so far this year. But we have a new opportunity in Orlando to go out and just play ball and really, you know, scratch a new surface of what we can accomplish. At the end of the day, I believe that when we go out here and go hoop, we have a chance to win a championship. We're going to be healthy, a lot healthier than we were before. Having been to be recovered and fully healed is big for us. And we just got to go out there and play basketball. Like, this for us is kind of like an AAU tournament. And we just got to go out and hoop and play our best and do what we do. But I really believe that we're going to have a clear-cut shot to win a championship. And I stand on that.
Tobias Harris on First Take on Friday. I appreciate the honesty. A sleeper, though? I think they're well beyond being a sleeper. When you, again, come in with the expectations that you did, despite your record during the regular season, I believe that sleeper moniker goes out the window. Right now, you're underachieving. He said that. We did not have the chemistry. And people will talk about, and the coach has talked about, the 19 games that the starters have played together. The general manager has done the same. The chemistry, you just heard Tobias Harris mention that. Why was the chemistry so off? Was it the fact that through the 65 games, they only had 19 on the floor together? Possibly. But at what point does it become an excuse more so than let's just go out there and do it? And he said it. I'm going to be real. The chemistry wasn't there, so they just weren't good, is what he's saying. He gave it a different term and phrased it totally different than I think a lot of people would. People would just say they stunk. Right, I would just say they underachieved. Based on what they told us, Brown and Embiid did point out they wanted a top seed in the East, 60-plus games, lock down that number one seed. I felt they would do the same thing, not 60 games. It probably would have had to get there to get that top seed, 60. I thought it was more along the lines of 55, 56, 57, somewhere around there in order for them to do it, because the East was good. They would beat each other, take wins away from one another. And he said a lot there. Again, I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate him stepping out and being a leader. I don't hear anything from Simmons, and I don't hear anything from Embiid outside of course, on Sixers.com. I would like to hear, he's been out there, whether it's marching with the people of Philadelphia for Black Lives Matter and the social issues going on in our country, or right now sticking his neck out saying something about the 76ers. Maybe you don't want to hear from him. Maybe he's not the guy. But there have been plenty of people who have said, who is the leader of your basketball team? Leadership shows in a lot of different ways. That man does average 19 points a game. You just heard Rob talk about Tobias Harris getting a bad rap. I have said, I want more than the 19, especially in a big spot like this. He did not perform well in the postseason last year. I need to see better. I would like between 20 and 22 from Tobias Harris with some explosive games where I am in that ballpark of 28 to 30 from time to time. I need that from him. Has he been solid and consistent? Yes. I want impactful point production from Harris. Again, I appreciate him sticking his neck out. He is showing leadership for this basketball team. Him saying that puts a bullseye on him as well, because if he doesn't perform at a high level in this bubble during the playoff scenario that they're going to have, people are going to point fingers at him also, because you did not do it. They're going to point fingers at him if Jimmy Butler has success and advances the Miami Heat to the next round past the Indiana Pacers, and they're going to say, you did not do your job. Jimmy did. We should have kept him. That's already out there. Jimmy's an all-star. They're the fourth seed. They have a better squad. He has elevated the level of play for those young players. Bam Adebayo making an all-star team. So on, so on, so on, and so on. Nate in Southwest Philly on the text line says 25 points per game, bro. Period. For Tobias Harris. So, there are a lot of things here with this basketball team. And I, again, appreciate him sticking his neck out. I don't think they are a sleeper, though, any longer, because you are already billed as a top team in the Eastern Conference. You can't have that anymore. Justin in Philly next on The Fanatic. Justin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How you feeling, man?
What's going on? So you already know who I'm going to say.
Yeah, I know you're going with Boston.
You know, and I'm only going with Boston because I just think, since y'all don't have no home games, y'all, and B performs terrible on the road. It's just that simple.
All right, but they do have, again, a neutral site where they don't have to go to TD Bank. The TD Bank doesn't have to go to Philadelphia. This is a road game for both teams that they both have to adapt to in that setting.
I think we don't really have to adapt that much because we got a better road record than home record this year.
Yeah, but everyone has the same advantage here, right? Because you don't have to go into anyone's building. This is now everyone's home. The only thing that's going to be different is the color of the uniforms, deciding who's the home team or not. All right, what's the matchup? How do you feel your team, the Celtics, are better than the 76ers here?
And now, even though y'all beat us 3-1, we won the last game, right? I think
yes,
we won the last game.
Won the last game in Boston.
And it took us three games to adjust to what y'all were doing. And once we adjusted to what y'all were doing, we was unstoppable against y'all. Y'all have no answer for Tatum. Kemba Walker's going to be healthy. He was out towards before they shut down the season for a little bit for his knee. He's going to come back healthy. I think Gordon Hayward's going to be healthy. Jalen, y'all just don't have what it takes to stop us. And then I think y'all thought by getting Al Horford away from us, it was going to make us a worse team. It made us a better team. And then y'all don't even know how to use Al Horford the right way.
All right. So now who has an answer on your side for Joel Embiid?
We don't. I'm going to tell you, Joel Embiid is going to take himself out the game. He's going to get frustrated. He's comfortable as a player to where he's at right now. He could be probably the best player in the NBA if he wants to, but he's comfortable where he's at right now. And when you don't have that heart to want to be a champion, you're just going to take yourself off the game.
Who does Kemba Walker defend?
He's going to defend Josh Richardson. He's going to defend who's your point guard? Josh Richardson, right?
No. Technically, it's Ben Simmons is the point guard.
But we're going to do that by committee. we're going to, our defense, because we're small, we're going to do that by committee.
And what they're going to do is they're going to try to get him in some switches where they, you know, you come up and, of course, you cause that mismatch, you get him on a switch, and now you're going to put somebody or bigger on him and make him defend and take him on a low block and get him in foul trouble.
And then if they could put him on Ben Simmons, because he's not going to shoot the ball, you can back up off Ben Simmons.
Okay, well, as soon as they do that, Justin, I'm taking him right to the block. I'm getting this man in foul trouble.
But we already know Brent Brown's not going to do that.
Oh, well, I disagree.
We already know he's not going to do that.
I disagree.
We already know he's not going to do that.
All right.
They got the players in the first round. It might go 7. I'll say 6. I'll say 4-2.
All right, listen, I agree it's going to be a good series. Thanks for the call, Just. Appreciate it, man. I agree it's going to be a very good series, but I'm not looking at it that the Sixers can't come. Especially if you go on 6-7, of course the Sixers can beat the Celtics. And they showed that during the regular season, taking the regular season matchup 3-1, and yes, they were good games, but they ultimately came out on top. Boston getting the last one, of course, coming out on top. I just think the Sixers are in that matchup, they are the favorite against the Boston Celtics.
I don't think it's as a clear-cut Celtics victory as Justin wanted to imply, but I tend to lean towards what he says because of the matchup factor. And that's what concerns me the most, is not only do I not like certain matchups in certain spots, I don't like the coaching matchup either. And, you know, I'm not...
Well, you know I like Brad Stevens.
Wait, I do too. I'm not a Brad Stevens is the greatest coach of all time type guy, because I think there are people out there and it's misguided. But I do believe that Brad Stevens has a really innate ability to match up well in different situations with different lineups, because I think that he's got certain guys for certain roles. Like, even a guy like Marcus Smart can play in different spots in different against
guard one through five,
right, yeah, in different matchups. And that's what concerns me, is that based on matchup alone, the Celtics bother me the most.
And it's not about him being the greatest coach ever, or in the world, or in the league for that matter. He coaches well against the 76ers. Now, this year, Brett Brown has had his number. And that's great, right? Brett Brown has had his number. And that's a good thing. That has to be a confidence thing for Brett Brown going into their matchup. And it's something that cannot be ignored. Now, yes, all those things get wiped out, right? All those things get wiped out when you get into the postseason. Things change. Sixers, let me just give you what they did this season. Sixers took care of Boston in game one on October 23rd, 107-93. We remember how that went. Their defense was tremendous against the Celtics. Game two, the Sixers went to Boston, 115-109. I believe that's when Embiid had an explosive game where he went off for 38. Let me check it real quick. Yes, he went off with 38, 13 boards. Tobias Harris contributed 23. Simmons only 7 with 8 boards, 6 assists. Mike Scott, that's the night he hit a bunch of threes, 15 points. And Josh Richardson, 14, 2-2. Al Horford was out that game. He was injured. If you remember, he did not play in this first game back in Boston. January 9th, Sixers 109, Celtics 98. In that particular game, the Philadelphia 76ers were led by Josh Richardson in his 29. Simmons, 19-9-3. Horford, no Embiid, 17-8-6. Harris, 16-7-3. Mike Scott, 7 points in his run in place of Al Horford. And the final one, Sixers fall to the Celtics, 116-95, led by Ben Simmons' 23-9-5. Celtics, 32 from Jaylen Brown, 25 Jason Tatum, 16 Smart, Brad Wanamaker, local product, 15, Semi Ojeleye, 11. They had contributions from top to bottom. No Kemba Walker. They found a way to get it done. 610-632-0975. Guys, we already know the setup. Sixers 8-game regular season schedule is set for the bubble. Who do you fear the most? 610-632-0975. And we're talking about the Eastern Conference side first. If you feel like the 76ers, you fear them the most because they are their own worst enemy, please let us know why. 610 610- 632-0975. Guys, we start with you when we get back. Jay first when we return right here on 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.